Blog Talk Radio.
God Rainbow Ministries hope you find peace in the days in today's sermon. May it bring the light you need to start the new week. Open minds and hearts to what you hear, and may His love, light, and praise keep you blessed. God's Rainbow Ministry loves you all. Others may say it is a sin, but here all we have to say is this: it's not your sexuality, it's your relationship with God that matters. So come in from the hate for a bit. Enjoy as Ken shares the Lord's word of love, peace, and understanding. And sorry, guys, you were going to hear me saying had Pastor Fishman not spoiled that.
Oh, well, okay. I didn't know I was spoiling it, okay? I was just preparing everybody for it.
I know that. I know that's why I didn't want you to hear it before I did it, because I knew you'd spoil it.
Oh.
But thanks to you.
Okay.
Rest on your sermon today and have a good one.
All righty. Well, let's start this out with some praise and worship music, with some good gospel music. Here we go.
Y'all got it. So let's celebrate. Come on, Calvin, let's do this.
Now I need everybody.
Thank you.
Amen. Well, I hope you enjoyed today's praise and worship service. Okay? Now let's get into the message. Okay? The today's title of the sermon is The Ascension of Jesus. And I'm taking it from Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. So let's go with an opening prayer for our service. Lord our God and our Father, we thank you for giving us the Holy Spirit who binds us to you, Lord. Give us continually a fresh something of the Spirit so that we can go forward with light shining on the path we must follow on earth, Lord. Grant us your Spirit, Lord. Grant that light may break into our whole life and we can rejoice because we experience so much of what you're doing, Lord. For through the power of your Spirit, you can help us toward your future and all that is to come, Lord, that we may live not only in time, but in eternity. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
There are three events in life of Christ that get an awful lot of publicity. There are the birth of Jesus, the death of Jesus, and the resurrection of Jesus. We recognize holidays for each of these, like Christmas, Good Friday, and we have Easter. But the ascension of Jesus is neglected by comparison. You'll never find a happy ascension card in the Hallmark store. The ascension of Jesus is the reason you cannot see Jesus with your physical eyes today. You see, Jesus takes the elevator up toward heaven, for at the ascension of Jesus, Jesus transfers from earth to heaven. In contrast to our neglect, the ascension of Jesus has drawn the attention of artists for centuries. So let's get into today's scripture. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they had asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. That's Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. So we began a series on the book of Acts a week ago. Did you miss the season opener or episode 1 last week? If so, I invite you to visit, okay, go online and get caught up. Acts is a bridge book. It is a bridge between the Gospels, which describe the life and ministry of Jesus Christ and the letters of the New Testament. And you can also look at so you can go back into the archives and listen to it. Now, four events in the life of Jesus from a ladder of light for us. Jesus' birth, Jesus' death, Jesus' resurrections, and Jesus' ascension. Now, each one of the events led up to the ladder to another. And what we'll discover today is that all four rungs point to a fifth event that is yet to come. Let's climb the ladder of light for the next few moments and look at the ascension of Jesus. Listen at the conclusion of this message as I want to share with you a moving story about our people who did what Jesus commanded these men to do. Why is it significant? In order to understand Luke's primary interest in Jesus transferred to he, we need to pay special attention to two items, the 40 days and those two men dressed in white. So let's look at the 40 days. Acts has the equivalent of exclusive because it's the only place where you will learn that Jesus spent 40 days on earth. During these 40 days, Jesus appeared to the disciples individually, but he also, when they were in groups, as many as 500 people in one instance. We are told at least two purposes for Jesus lingering for nearly a month and a half. First, Luke refers to these appearances as proofs in verse 3. Jesus spent 40 days on earth with his followers in order to prove he was alive following his crucifixion. Second, we note that Jesus spent his time teaching about the kingdom of God, which we will return to in the moments to come. So Jesus essentially showed he wasn't coming back. Luke calls them men in verse 10 because that is how they appeared. But their shining dress and authoritative tone indicated they were angels. Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? Now look at the apostles at a moment. Okay, there were 11 of the apostles present. Remember, Judas was the original Benedict Arnold. More on him in the weeks to come. Remember two men in the very, very same dazzling white clothing asked the woman of the first Easter morning, why do you seek the living among the dead? Whenever you hear a question from heaven, give heaven your attention. Can you not sympathize with these 11 men, though? Had I been there with these men, I would have been looking straight up along with them. If Jesus lifts up from earth before, where else would you look but up? When the Wright brothers first flew at the Kitty Hawk, where do you think you would look? But up. When the solar eclipse came through the less than a month ago, where did everyone look? But up. They had seen Jesus do just about everything in a little over 3 years. They had watched him heal the sick, feed the crowd with next to nothing, walk on water, raise the dead, and now even he had come back to life. But they had never seen anything like this. Jesus was lifting up off the earth. Think about it. At one moment, he was on the ground, and another moment, he's over 100 feet off the ground. And before you knew it, he was far above the birds of the sky. Forgive these men if they were slack-jawed, staring at heavens above. Luke tells us a cloud hid their view of Jesus. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on him, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. Now, you remember several of the disciples saw a similar cloud when Jesus was transfigured. No doubt, they thought, wait here a few minutes or even a few hours, he'll reappear. Perhaps Peter would have said to the others, hold on, don't leave, I have seen this before. That was in Luke chapter 9, verse 28 to 36. And remember another thing, Jesus had been popping in and out places for well over a month. They were on the edge of their seat, not knowing exactly when Jesus might pop up again. So these disciples needed to hear the angel say, Jesus has vanished, don't linger here, expecting his immediate return. For at some point, it is silly to continually looking up into an empty sky. On one end was Bethlehem and his birth, and on the other end was the Mount of Olives and his ascension. These men can now move into the next stage. Yes, the ascension served as a book into Jesus' earthly life. Jesus' ascension showed he wasn't coming back. Jesus showed he was not coming back. The angels were saying Jesus has gone for a while, but you can expect him to return one day soon. No, Jesus didn't evaporate. He didn't dissolve. He didn't melt. Just as he went up, he will one day come down. But look at me getting ahead of myself. Why is it significant? Why is it relevant? Someone might object with Jesus gone. It seems to make evangelism much harder. Imagine if Jesus were living somewhere in Israel even today. We couldn't count the number of tourists and spiritual seekers who would flock to him. Doesn't it seem with Jesus being gone that God put his best player on the bench and out of the game? Yes, the taking up of Jesus does the opposite of what you think. The ascension takes who Jesus Christ was and what Jesus did and releases into your lives with all of his healing power. Here are five practical ways Jesus' ascension helps believers, because it's good to have a friend in high places. You see, Jesus returns to the Father. The ascension of Jesus is essentially the crowning of Jesus. Think of it. That this Jesus has the sweet, melodic voices of angels themselves as his elevator music to heaven. On his way to heaven shortly before Jesus' crucifixion, Jesus asked this of the Father, "And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed." That's John 17, chapter 17, verse 5. Can you imagine the parade thrown in Jesus' honor when he re-entered heaven? Rather than thinking Jesus' ascension is a decrease of his power, think of the ascension as an increase of his power. Think of Jesus' ascension as a healing bomb. Yes, I know bombs are destructive, but this bomb brings healing. And the bomb isn't dropped locally, but above the atmosphere. If the bomb were dropped locally, it would only bring local healing. But since it's detonated high above the earth, it brings healing to many. When Jesus was lifted off the earth, his power did not decrease, but increased. So Jesus secures your place in heaven. Secondly, but he also has gone to prepare a place for us. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, but I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I may be also. That's John chapter 14, verses 1 to 3. So renew your confidence now that you know why Jesus is in heaven. Not only was the Son was needed in heaven, and the Spirit was needed on earth. So, thirdly, Jesus prays. The Son was needed in heaven to intercede for us. Jesus pleads our case before the throne of God. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died more than that, who raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Romans chapter 8, verse 34. So Jesus' work is complete. See, you only sit when your work is done. Okay, because Jesus lifted off the earth, you need to know that his final act of secured your salvation forever. But when Christ had offered for all the time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12 to 13. So Jesus sitting gives us confidence. He has completed all the necessary work to save us. And an older couple in Tampa Bay, Florida, was watching his 33-year-old son die of cancer. Just before the young man died, he told his parents, "Don't worry about me. I'm just being transferred to headquarters." What gave this young man such confidence? Jesus Christ had performed all that was necessary for him. Again, Jesus lifted up. It is a detonation of a bomb that brings healing to all his followers. You need only to respond. You and I can live with boldness, confidence, because we know our King is on his throne. So fifthly, Jesus sends the Holy Spirit. As Jesus lifts up, the Spirit comes down. Jesus, as he promised in verse 5, a transfer had to take place. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. As Acts chapter 2, verse 33. So when Jesus was taken up, it means that everything Jesus was and everything Jesus did is now released to all his followers. So why is this significant? Why is it relevant? What makes it urgent? And said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from heaven will come the same way as you saw him going to heaven." Once again, that's Acts chapter 1, verse 11. Again, four events in the life of Jesus, from a ladder of flight for us, Jesus' birth, Jesus' death, Jesus' resurrection, and Jesus' ascension. And these four rung points to the fifth event that is yet to come, the second coming of Jesus. The same man will return. Note carefully the word of angels. This Jesus. Jesus left the earth physically, and Jesus returned to the earth physically. Just as surely as he hung up upon the old rugged cross, be assured that the same Jesus sits to the right of his Father who is in heaven. That same Jesus that they spat upon on the cross is the same Jesus that is now crowned in the throne room of heaven. Not a different Jesus, but this Jesus. Even though ages of time come and go, remember this. It is always this Jesus. Be encouraged on this day. This Jesus is returning one day very soon. The same man will return by the same method he will return. Take a special care to the bookmark this Bible fact. Jesus did not disappear into thin air before the 11's eyes as what a ghost. Jesus still exists. He didn't evaporate. He didn't melt. And he didn't dissolve. No, Luke tells us Jesus kept moving up until a cloud hid him from their view. As they were looking on, he was lifted up and a cloud took him out of their sight. No, Jesus didn't disappear like some on a sci-fi movie. Instead, he continued rising until the clouds covered him. The angels are speaking of Jesus' second coming. The Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him going to heaven. Just as Jesus physically left the earth and was hidden by a cloud, the Bible tells us a cloud will bring him back to earth one day. Jesus told the people who asked if he was God just hours before his death, and Jesus said, "I am, and you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming to the clouds of heaven." That's Mark chapter 14, verse 62. Three differences. Both the ascension and the second coming have so much in common, yet there's a few differences. See, the ascension was private. Only 11 men were privileged to see it. But the second coming is public. Every eye will see him. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him. Even those who pierced him and all tribes of the earth will wail on the account of him. Even so, amen. Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. The ascension was local. He left earth outside of Jerusalem, but the second coming will be global. They will experience his return in the holy city, the eternal city, the forbidden city, and the steel city, and the emerald city, and in your city. And while he was taken up so, he will return with a choir. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. 1 Thessalonians 4:14. Yes, just as he physically rose one day, he will physically come again. When you are God, clouds act as your chariot. The same man will return. By the same method he will return. Hear the same message before his return. He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his authority." Obviously, the disciples were to quit gazing and to start going. Their focus was to be on earth and not the sky. Their calling was to be witnesses rather than stargazers. They were to speculate with their necks craned to the heavens, but rather they were to be focused outwards in compassion to a lost world needing Christ. It is the same for us today. We are assured that Jesus Christ will return one day. We long for Jesus' return and wonder why it is dragging his feet. Yes, many modern American Christians, there are intense desire to see signs. We are left as nothing more than stargazers. We are just as curious as these men, but nearly as obedient. Okay, some knew about every toe on Nebuchadnezzar's foot from Daniel's prophetic vision and can spot the Antichrist in 1,000 yards. But the poor grow hungry and lost neighbors go to hell from their very street. Yes, many modern American Christians, there is intense desire to see signs. Hear the angels say to you today, "Why do you stand looking into heaven?" Yes, you are to quit your gazing and start going, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. That's Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Do not loiter this evening as if you have nothing to do. We are paralyzed because Jesus is away. Instead, live with boldness and confidence because we know our King is on his throne. Our great Redeemer lives and is crowned. Now we enter the nations and our neighborhoods to tell them that Jesus is risen and will return again. So, in conclusion, in July of last year, a longtime member of our church passed away. Her name was Trish. Before she passed, she asked her friend Linda to help her share Christ with an Asian lady who worked at the cosmetics counter on the south side of San Antonio. Linda agreed by calling herself Jonah. because of her reluctance. Linda was reluctant, okay, for at least two reasons. She didn't know the lady's name, only that she was Asian. She worked at Dior counter in Dillard's and Southside Mall. Plus, Linda lived in the East San Antonio, and the Southside Street Mall was way out of her way. But having told Trish yes before she passed away, she trekked off to the Southside Mall. Not knowing the Asian lady's name, she wasn't even sure what she would say when she arrived. When she arrived, she went past all the makeup counters and sales lady hawking her goods. Linda went straight to the Dior counter, and there was an Asian lady alongside an American lady. Can we help you, ma'am? No, I'm here today because of my friend Trish. And Linda replied. The Asian lady immediately recognized the name and commented on how much she liked Trish. Linda told her that Trish had recently passed away, and she learned the woman's name was Young Zong. Then Linda proceeded to tell the lady behind the counter that Trish has been praying for her, and Trish wanted her to know that God's son had died for her sins. As Linda shared with Young, the American lady beside her was crying as she overheard the conversation. It was then Young shared how she had come to know Christ during the very month Trish had passed away. At the same point, Linda turns her attention to the crying American lady and asks, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus? The American lady paused and said, well, I'm in the process. She told about her sick grandmother with cancer. When Linda offered to get coffee with her and followed up on the conversation, now, all of this happened because a lady named Trish shared the gospel with her cosmetics counter salesperson and asked her friend Linda to help her. So when he returns, would you want to be found sharing Christ with cosmetics counter salesperson? When he returns, would you not have him find you teaching neglected children the gospel? When he returns, should you not be neck deep in praying and working for students to accept the gospel? Amen. Well, this concludes today's sermon, so let us pray. Lord of God, Father of us all, bless our community in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. May your spirit carry out what we are powerless to do so that we can experience joy, strength and joy, something from eternity and can face life with all its evil, pain and suffering, Lord. For you have drawn us to yourself in the spirit, soul, and body. We belong to another world, higher than this earthly passing one, Lord. We want to remain true to the higher world, that your praise may come from one heart and from one voice, that the name of Jesus Christ may shine in us and show us the way to all that is true and eternal. And then we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, now let's get to the most important. And that is, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? If you don't, that's okay, because you will get the chance to know him in just a minute. Let me ask you. Okay, are you tired of walking around not knowing where to go, which way is up, okay, which way is down? Okay, are you lost, but you needing to be found? Okay, are you suffering from depression or some sort of anxiety? Or maybe something worse, such as an addiction to drugs or alcohol or sexual immorality, okay, gambling, overeating, okay, or gaming or internet addiction, whatever it may be, you see, the Lord Jesus can take it away. But guess what, folks? If he doesn't know you, he can't do nothing for you. Okay? You have to ask him into your life so he can change your lives. So I ask you, do you want to have a changed life? Do you want to experience happiness and joy? I mean, real joy? If so, please say this simple little prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, for too long I have kept you out of my life. I know that I'm a sinner and that I cannot save myself. No longer will I close the door when I hear you knocking upon it. By faith, I gratefully receive your gift of salvation. And I am so ready to trust you as my Lord and Savior. So I want to say thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to earth. I believe you are the Son of God who died on a cross at Calvary for my sins and then rose from the dead on the third day. So once again, I want to thank you for bearing my sins and giving me the precious gift of eternal life. I believe your words are true, so please come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and be my Savior this evening. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, if you just said this prayer, we here at God's Rainbow Ministries want to welcome you into the family of the Lord. We want to say, may the Lord bless you, and may he keep you highly favored. Amen. Well, I'm going to play some music, some more praise and worship music, okay? Okay, so sit back and listen. Here we go. way. All righty. Well, it's time to end our time together tonight, okay? And I want to say God bless all of our listeners, okay? They're on the link and people that have called in. And it's now time for Tony to give us a closing prayer. And here he is.
As we go our separate ways tonight, remember that we are far apart, we are always together. For under his light we all shine. Take with you peace, take with you harmony, and take with you the knowledge that you will be safe until we meet again. And we will meet again Tuesday night, 8 o'clock Central, same godly time, same godly channel. Here at God's Rainbow Ministry, we love you all. Take that into the world. Take that knowledge and spread it. Let people know that they're loved. It's that simple in life. Sometimes all it takes is a smile. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Tony. That was wonderful. Okay. Well, I'm going to close this out with one more song. And, okay. And I hope you like this song. Here we go.
The truth can hurt you, or the truth can change you. What will truth do to you?
I just wanna be happy, but if I keep on doing the things that keep on bringing me pain, there's no one else I can blame if I'm not happy. Wasted time, but now I can see the biggest enemy, it was me. So I'm not happy. Cry yourself to sleep. Shout and raise your hands. It won't change a thing, child, until you understand. If you're tired of being the same, if you're tired of things not changing, it's time for you to get out the way. Don't get stuck in how you feel. Take Jesus, take the wheel. He knows the role that you need to take.
But it only works
if you want to be happy.
Change a thing, God, until you
Amen. Well, God bless you all. And you have a blessed rest of Sunday evening. Okay, until we meet again Tuesday night, 8 o'clock Central, for another episode of Purpose Gospel Radio. Amen. Good night.